right. Good morning, everybody. All right. So I have a confession to make. I weighed myself on Tuesday night. This is not a joke. And it's none of your business how much I weighed, but I weighed myself on Tuesday night, and then I weighed myself again on Friday morning. Now, typically, you're heavier in the evening, correct? Everybody down with that? Okay, so from the evening to the morning, I gained 3 pounds for Thanksgiving. Goals. It was good. This is basically how Thanksgiving went for me. I don't know what it looks like for you, but it was eat, take a nap, wake up, eat, take a nap, rinse, wash, repeat. Anybody else down with that life? All right, good. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We're glad you guys are here. As you probably know, there is a potluck following the experience. So be sure and stay around for that, man. The food is one thing. The relationships are even greater, right? So that's what it's all about. We're continuing a series. We're actually wrapping up a series this week called Think Thank. And that's, if you're a fan of alliteration, you're in the right place. If you get tongue twisted and tongue tied, then just go with it, right? So Think Thank, the idea is kind of pulled from the notion of a think tank. Have you guys heard of a think tank? It's essentially this gathering of really intelligent people who get together and they put their heads together and they try to come up with solutions to really difficult problems. It's a think tank. And so what I was thinking is with this series, that one of the biggest problems that we have in our lives, and if you look around, it's not hard to see, that a lot of people have a problem being appreciative, right? Go through a drive-thru and see how much appreciation you experience. We went to a drive-thru last night. We went to Sonic for ice cream late. That's a bad idea, but it was good. You guys need to loosen up a little bit, man. It's all right. So we went to a drive-thru, and I'm like, I'm about to give you my money. Show some gratitude. And it's just like, you were not getting any love from the lady at the drive-thru. And I don't know what's going on in her life and, you know, who kicked her cat or what. But there was just an appreciation problem. There was no gratitude. And I think it's kind of a collective issue. We have a lot of gratitude issues in our society. And personally, let's be honest, couldn't we all stand to be a little more appreciative, a little more thankful? I think we've all got room for improvement. I haven't met anybody yet who's maxed out, right? Who's 100 on their level of gratitude, so we can all improve. So we've talked about kind of throughout the course of the series, hey, let's turn our minds into storage tanks for thankful thinking. Let's utilize these powerful things in our heads to actually help us be more appreciative instead of being, you know, less appreciative and more negative and all of the things that we tend to lean to. And so we talked about how gratitude has to start in the heart, not just because it rhymes, but because it's true. Yeah. Right? It does rhyme, but it's also true. You know, that there's a statistic that says that people are more inclined to believe things that rhyme. So I can tell you something that's completely false, but if it rhymes, you have a tendency to believe it. So that's why I like rhyming. You know, I miss my calling. I'm an originally should have been a white rapper. Just didn't work out. And so it starts in the heart. Gratitude has to be birthed in our hearts. And if it's not birthed in our hearts, then we'll never experience it in the outward expressions of our lives. We'll never experience it in our words, in our attitudes, in our actions, right? It's got to be started or birthed in the heart. And then it goes into the mind, which can be a gauntlet. This is what, there's an actual psychological term for this called negativity bias. And what happens is your mind starts manipulating and twisting. Like, so something good happens to you, and then you start to say, well, yeah, but, right? And you start to anticipate bad things happening because, well, maybe your experience says that this is what's going to happen, or maybe you just, you know, you don't think you deserve anything good to happen to you. And so your mind will literally take this gratitude and twist it and turn it into a negative view of someone or something. It's negativity bias. It's crazy. Our minds, for whatever reason, we're just naturally, most of us, Shelley's probably the exception to the rule, most of us naturally gravitate towards negative things, right? Like we turn on the news and we watch it, and like all it is awful things, right? They may have like a 15-second segment on a 30-minute news program that's good, and the rest of it's negative. Why? Because that's what we tune in for. That's what we want to know. What are all the bad things that are happening in the world? And so we're kind of geared towards negativity. And so what we need to do is learn, what we're learning to do is how to become more appreciative, to focus on the right things. And so as we kind of continue to learn about gratitude and how to be more filled with gratitude. I hadn't figured out how to say that. Like, gratitudinous is my best guess at it. Any grammar Nazis, just go with it, okay? So as we learn how to try to implement gratitude in our lives, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at some gratitude hacks. Have you guys seen, like, this is kind of the thing nowadays. Everybody wants to give you their life hacks, ways to make your life easier, and like these trendy things that you can do to make you look cool because you've tapped into these life hacks. So we're going to look at some gratitude hacks that will help us to kind of, as we continue the thought from last week, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It starts in the heart, goes through the mind, and then it's expressed in our lives. So kind of these are really quick, short hacks that we're going to look at, but they're going to go, although they're short, they go a long way in helping us to become appreciative, right? Short, long. Hack number one, magic eraser. That's what we're going to call it. It's not an actual, I couldn't find a magic eraser, so I got a Tide-to-go pen. It's the same thing, right? I bet if you looked at the ingredients, it would be dang near identical, just different marketing and branding, right? So you guys understand how, like, these things are incredible. Like, if you get, because I'm a klutz, apparently, and if I drink coffee, like, my body likes coffee, too. My clothes like coffee, too, and so I get coffee all over me. So a magic eraser is it magically erases everything that you spill on yourself. And so the first hack is more, it's really more of a mind trick. Psychologists, they've discovered, and if you're not into psychology, just go with some of this stuff because it's kind of interesting because we are talking about the mind, we are talking about the brain, and we have a psychologist back there. So they've discovered that there are benefits to helping us become more filled with gratitude if you actually kind of erase everything that's in your life, like in your mind, not literally, you don't start wiping things and people out. Not like that. But if you erase in your minds everything that's near and dear to you, it kind of just gives you a kind of a blank slate from which you can work from. And so let me give you an example. Let's say, you know, the children who don't do their chores sometimes, right? The family that you got to spend Thanksgiving with, good or bad, right? Just the people that are closest to you and the things that are closest to you, the home that you have to pay a mortgage on and the car that you got a note on and insurance on, right? All of the things that we have that we kind of sometimes don't appreciate because of the things that come along with them, right? And we start to not appreciate the things that we have in our life. Now imagine that all of those things were taken away from you just like that. Right? It would be devastating, obviously. Like, and here's the thing. You don't get to upgrade. This is not where you don't get to imagine all of the old things taken away and you get a new car and a new wife and a new... That was a joke. Not a good one if you have to explain it, right? And so this is not an upgrade trick. This is just imagine that everything that's near to you is taken away. How would that make you feel? It would be awful. It would be absolutely just an unbelievable empty feeling that you would go through and you would experience. Now, the idea is this. It's supposed to remind us of the value of the things that we already have in our lives. Like, they're there. You have them. You have those relationships. You have those things. So why don't we appreciate them while we've got them as opposed to, you know, waiting till they're gone to start appreciating them, right? So it's the magic eraser trick. And I think this is especially important when it comes to people, right? Things are important. Like, we need things to live. We need food to live. Good Lord, we need food. I mean, some of us need more food than others. Like, it passes from a necessity to a want at some point, but I hadn't found that line yet. But it's what really, really is important about this is people. Like, people matter. Being appreciative of the people who God has placed in our path, right? And here's what we tend to do with this. We tend to appreciate less the ones that we should appreciate most. The people who are most common to us, the people who we get to be with every day, we tend, for whatever reason, to appreciate them less. And unfortunately, that's not the way it should be. The people who are closest to us should get the best from us. But you know how life is and how all that works. So let's make sure that we apply this to people. Because here's why this is so important. You can have a real, tangible impact and influence into the life of somebody else if you show them appreciation. Whereas if you appreciate things or circumstances, it only benefits you. Right? Now, there is benefit to being grateful for the things that you have, but it only benefits you. But if you are grateful and appreciative of somebody else, not only does it benefit you, but it benefits them. Right? You see how that works. And so that's one of the things that we can do. That's the first hack. And so kind of as I was thinking about that, Shelley mentioned this just thinking about Jesus and how all of this, like everything that we do, like and everything that we have is all really secondary to our relationship with God. And as followers of Jesus, it just makes me think that he is the source of our gratitude. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is just kind of a bonus. It's an add-on. It's a benefit. Jesus is the source of our gratitude. He's all that we really need. And if everything else were taken away, we would still have reason enough to be appreciative. There's an old song. I'm a jukebox for old church songs. I don't know, like whatever, for whatever reason, they get locked in. And so there's an old song, and you've probably heard it. Maybe you've heard it. I'm not going to sing it. I always say I'm not going to sing it, and then I start to sing it, and then I realize I shouldn't have sung it. That's usually how that goes. So I'm not going to sing it, but it's I would rather have Jesus than anything. And he starts talking about to be the king of a vast domain. I would rather have Jesus than that. To have riches untold in silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than all of that stuff. And all of those things are fine, but Jesus is what we need the most. And he's reason enough to be appreciative. He's reason enough for us to have gratitude in our hearts. And I kind of just, as I was thinking about that, started thinking about some of the guys who wrote the New Testament. Like these guys sacrificed so much for us to have the words of God that we have, right? And so you think about some of them were literally left everything they had to follow Jesus. Like it's just imagine you've got your car and your family and you're living in your mama's house and you got all of these things and you just leave to follow this guy named Jesus. Like some of them did that. They sacrificed to that degree. Some of them were on the verge of being persecuted, on the verge of being executed. They were being hunted like dogs for their faith in Jesus. And so they were going through so much. They experienced so much hardship. They were beaten, thrown into prison. They had all of these outside oppressors that were kind of pressing in on them. And they still said things like, be thankful, have gratitude. Paul even had the audacity in Philippians chapter 4 to tell us to do this. And remind you, let me remind you, he was sitting in prison, not like in Gregg County Jail, right? Like this is a prison 2,000 years ago where you didn't necessarily get your three meals a day and cable television and your rec time and all that stuff. Like this is, it's a medieval prison. It's probably the conditions, like your toilet is wherever you are, right? It's gross. It's disgusting. And he said this, like the audacity of Paul to say something like this. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. I will say it again, just in case you didn't hear it or you ignored it the first time. Rejoice. That's what Paul said, not me. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And then he kind of just goes on and he adds some things to this that I think are so good. He said, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, interesting, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Right? Like, just think about that. Paul's sitting in prison, knowing that the end of his stay there is probably going to be death. Like, he's probably going to be executed because of his faith in Jesus. And he has the audacity to tell us to rejoice. And not just once, just in case we're hard-headed. He tells us to do it again. And then he reminds us, hey, that whatever you're going through, whatever circumstance that you face, place your trust in Jesus. Give thanks to him for all that he's done. Make your request known. Don't be anxious about it. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will rule in your hearts and your minds. That's what gratitude is about, man. And it's not predicated on our circumstances. He was in prison. It's not about the situation that you're in. It's not about, you know, how well things are going for you, because he said, let all of your requests be known, right? In all of your circumstances, make your petition known before God, right? It's not about the things that we're going through. It's about Jesus. That's where our gratitude comes from. That's the source of our thanksgiving. So let's make sure we do that. That's hack one. Number one, magic eraser. That's for you. Presents. Them hands, though. I know, you missed. I was trying to give you props, but she just blew it. Number two, hack number two, Teflon or Velcro? And I'll explain this as we get into it. Our brains are, again, like we said, they're very powerful. They're these tools that can be used to help us build gratitude into our lives, or they're weapons that can destroy it. And it really just matters kind of which way you allow it to go and which way you allow to become more strong in your life. It can be a tool to build gratitude or a weapon to destroy it. And so fortunately, there's this thing that happens in our minds, and you've probably heard of this, called plasticity. You guys know what that is? Neuroplasticity, I guess, would be the proper terminology. And so what we can actually train or retrain our brains to do and stop doing certain things. And you've heard all of this stuff. It takes 21 days to form a new habit is the last one I've heard. It probably changed because things always do, right? And it's just funny how we do this. Like we present all of these great studies and researchers, they come up with these great numbers and we follow it for years. And then somebody comes back later and they're like, oh, no, that was wrong. It's this. And then, you know, we wasted our entire lives. Just kidding. And so there's this thing called neuroplasticity, which allows us to retrain our brains or to train for the first time. And I think what we can do is we can actually train our brains to look for things to be thankful for, as opposed to being, you know, looking for, anticipating the bad things that could happen. And our brains, like by default, are naturally, they're Velcro for bad experiences. How many of you remember things that have happened to you that were bad? Things that people said about you that were bad, situations. Even when you were a kid, you remember the bad things that happened. Like our brains, they hold on to bad experiences. But we're more like Teflon for good experiences. We tend to forget the good experiences that happen in our lives. You guys know what Teflon is? It's like, so when you put it, for this particular type of Teflon, when you put it on pipe and then you screw the pipe in, it doesn't allow the pipe to stick. It doesn't, you know, understand? All right, so there was a mobster in the 70s. They called him Teflon Don because they couldn't get any of the charges that they brought against him to stick. Teflon keeps things from sticking. And our brains, I didn't mean to get into all of that. It's for you too. Make it rain. So our minds, for whatever reason, like it's like Teflon for the good experiences. Yeah, we enjoy it as we're experiencing it, and maybe for a few days afterwards, and then we just kind of forget about it. Or even now, as quickly as things move, we're thankful for a few minutes, and then we forget about it whenever the next bad thing happens and the Velcro sticks, right? The bad things stick. The good things, they just kind of wash off like water off the back of a duck. And there's this again, a psychological phenomenon. It's just a fun word to say. Psychological phenomenon. I need some glasses right now and a whiteboard. And it's called negativity bias. And it, literally, your brain, for whatever reason, holds on to the negative experiences, and it just kind of forgets about the good encounters or things that you've experienced. And so enter plasticity. This is where plasticity comes into play. Just because maybe that's the way that you are doesn't mean that's the way that you have to be. And what's so unfortunate about this is nobody in this room, but people in other churches and other places around the world, most people don't like to take personal responsibility. And so when something bad happens in their life, they start to blame everybody rather than just the one person who probably caused the situation in the first place, at least contributed to it. Because I don't know that I've ever experienced a situation where there's a lot of conflict and only one source of the conflict. It's usually two people, and both of them takes two to tango, right? That whole thing. And so enter plasticity. We don't have to stay that same way. We don't have to continue on focusing on the negative thoughts. We can start and actually change the way our brain thinks and operates and find the good things that are going on in our lives. We can make them more like Velcro for the good experiences as well. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27, it says this. And man, this is so rich, and it's just fascinating to me. It's kind of funny how thousands of years later, psychologists are catching up to Scripture. And they think they're so cutting edge, right? They think they're so trendy and smart. And it took them thousands of years to figure this stuff out. Proverbs 11, 27, it says, if you search for good, you will find favor. But if you search for evil, it will find you. If you search for good, you will find favor. But if you search for evil, it will find you. Another way of saying that is you will find what you're looking for. And man, don't we know this? Like, haven't we experienced this? That whatever it is that we give our minds attention to, whatever it is that we focus our minds on, is what we're going to find. It's what we're going to see more of. How many of you have bought a new car and you didn't realize there were so many of the exact same cars on the road? It's happened to all of us. Like, you buy a 2011 silver Kia Forte. I don't know. And then the next thing you know, there are 3,000 silver Kia Fortes on the roads in Longview. Now, here's the thing. There are no more or less silver Kia Fortes on the road than when you got your vehicle. Now you're just focusing on something different. You're looking for something different. You will find what it is that you're looking for. And if you search for good, you're going to find good. And if you search for evil, you don't have to search real hard. It's going to find you. And the problem is, or the solution really is, hey, let's start focusing on the good. Let's search for good. Let's diligently search for good. And our brains will actually come alongside of us and help us. The reason our brains tend to show us more of the negative experiences is because that's what we get high on, like with dopamine hits and all that weird. So we thrive on negativity. And so our brains are just like, oh, you like that? Well, I'll point more of that stuff out to you. But if we start looking for good and our brains are like, oh, you like that? I'll point more of that stuff out to you. I'll point more of the things out that are happening that you should be appreciative for. I'll point more of the relationships out in your life that you should be appreciative for. It's just there to help us. It's kind of a neutral, right? It's not got an agenda one way or the other. It's just there for you. And whatever you're looking for, you will find. That was a good time for like a or an amen or know me or something. Just two quick closing thoughts on that particular hack. We're not done. Just don't get your hopes up. I'm hungry too, but we can wait. You will find more of what you look for, and you will become more of what you look for. And so let's become Velcro for good thoughts. Let's focus more on the good things. Let's make sure that we celebrate the good things that happen in our lives. And there's so many different ways that we can do that. One of the things that we can do to really help us to seal the deal is actually our third hack, and it's called gratitude journal. How many of you keep a journal? Not like a creepy, weird teenage journal where you write down, he's so cute, no sorts of things. Not that any of you would ever do that. But a gratitude journal, and this is kind of, I guess this is a newer thing, but people say that, psychologists say, researchers say, that writing down a couple of times a week, this is not something you have to do every single day, but if you write down a few things that you're thankful for a few times a week, it literally can change your life. Listen, some of the studies say that it will help us to sleep better. It says that we'll have less sickness, we'll have less symptoms of illness, and generally be more happy, whether you're a kid or you're an adult. And it's just fascinating. Again, it's just funny to me how, you know, we're coming up with all these great theories and research, and it's like, man, I could have told you that. Just go read the Bible, homie. So it doesn't have to be anything formal or official, just your way of jotting down what it is maybe that happened that day that you're appreciative of, or maybe somebody said something and you're like, man, that meant a lot to me. I'm going to write that down. Or somebody did something small and you really appreciated it, and so you write that down, and then you can look back, because inevitably you're going to have one of those days, right? They happen. Or maybe you're having one of those weeks or months or years, and then you can stop and you can look at that journal and you realize all of the things that you have to be grateful for, to be thankful for. And so we write it down. And I was thinking about this, if you think about it in its own distinct or weird way, the entire book of Psalms is somebody's gratitude journal. Right? Like, so all of these different psalms that we have tell us to be thankful. It's where we take our cues on gratitude from. And it's really just somebody's expression on pen and paper or coal and papyrus, however they wrote it down, of their gratitude. They wrote down the things that they were thankful for. They wrote down the reason that they had gratitude in their hearts. And so when you read Psalm chapter 9, verse 1, for example, it says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all of my heart, and I will tell of your wonderful deeds. He's just writing down his gratitude, right? And not only writing it down just, you know, as an exercise in futility, but he's writing it down so that he has something to reference back to. He has something that he can go back and look at and be like, you know what? I am thankful for you, Lord. And I'll write this down, and I'm gonna worship you with all of my heart, and I'm going to be grateful for all that you've done. And I'm not just going to keep it to myself, but I'm going to tell of all of your wonderful deeds. And he writes it down for himself, and then he also shares it with other people. So he kept a gratitude journal. That's another thing that we can do. The fourth one is this. Personal think tank. I love the think tank. Have a personal think tank. Surround yourself with people who are in the habit of being gratitudinal. Thankful, right? Now, here's the deal. In like some relationships in your life, you have no control over. You don't get to choose who your parents are. Sometimes you don't get to choose who your boss is. You don't get to choose who your teachers are. There are some relationships that we don't have any control over, but most of the relationships in your life, you have control over. Most of the relationships in your life, you have control over. So maybe you should surround yourself with people who are more appreciative and have gratitude and thankful, rather than surrounding yourself with negative Nancys. Nancys, right? And it's funny because it amazes me how people, they'll gripe about their friends being so negative and they continue to hang out with them. And I'm like, who's really the problem here? It's you, right? That all you do is complain about problems, but you don't bring any solutions to the problem. But that's another story. And so this is so important because you will inevitably take on the attitude of those that you surround yourself with. If you don't believe that's true, send your kid to the house of a brat for 3 days and see what happens when they come back to your house. They're going to be bratty. They're going to be whiny. They're going to be combative. They're going to be argumentative. And then they're going to be beat or disciplined. However you do that, right? Whatever works for you, right? And it's just amazing how we see it so clearly in kids, but we think that we're exempt from it. We're immune to it. And we're just not. We take on the attitude of the people that we surround ourselves with. So maybe it's a good idea, if that's the case and if that's the truth, to surround ourselves with people who have attitudes of gratitude. Yeah, I had to make it work. Attitudes of gratitude. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. This is so good, man. It says this. Paul, again, in all of his audacity, he says, do not be deceived. He's like, let me tell you the truth. Real talk. That's what Paul said. Bad company corrupts good character. Short, sweet, to the point, right? Like, it's just that simple. Bad company corrupts good character. It corrupts good morals. It corrupts your good attitude. And so maybe if that's the truth, and maybe if that's a reality, maybe you need to surround yourself with people who have better attitudes, who are appreciative, who are thankful. And it is kind of interesting, isn't it, how people gripe all the time about being unappreciated, but they themselves never appreciate anyone else. Find some relationships where this can be reciprocal, where you're thankful for them and they're thankful for you, and you're thankful for them and they're thankful. You see, it reciprocates. That's the whole idea. It's amazing. Bad company corrupts good character. So find some people. If that means like you need just a reset, then maybe that's what you need to do on some of your friendships. And again, some of these relationships we don't have control over, but most of them we do. So surround yourself with a personal think tank. Hack number five, this is the last one. And I'm going to let you fill in the blank on this one because I don't want to be offensive. I'm going to let you be offensive. It's to put up or fill in the blank. Let's try that again. Put up or, you said it, not me. And this one, for me, was a bit of an epiphany a few weeks ago. So how many of you guys, when you get out of bed in the morning, let me preface the statement or question like this. How many of you guys are morning people? You can leave whenever you want. Right? Like, listen, we start at 11 o'clock for a reason. Gives your brother a chance to drink some coffee and you know, kind of get, whoo, you know, get things straightened out and ready to go. And so I'm not, like, once I get up, I'm good, I'm fine, but like that first 15 minutes where I'm like, what happened to me, right? I feel like I got hit by an 18-wheeler, slammed 3 bottles of NyQuil that night, and I'm like, oh! And so as soon as I get up, the first thing you guys start doing is self-talk. Does anybody else do this? So you start talking to yourself, like not out loud, but like your mind is talking, and my first words are in a zombie, you know, zombie language, zombie tone, coffee, right? It's the first thing. And so I get out of bed and I'm like walking around. I feel like I'm 90 years old. My knees are cracking and my back's like, you know? And so I stand up and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. And I start telling myself this. I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. Ooh, yeah. And then it just kind of, it hit me. I had this epiphany, I guess we'll call it that, that whose fault is it that you're tired? I was like, well, I'm the one that stayed up later than I should have. I knew what time I had to get up in the morning, and I chose, in spite of that fact, to stay up well past my bedtime, since I have one of those, right? I knew how tired I was going to be when I stayed up late the night before. Now, who is it that caused that problem? So here's my solution, this was a very strong rebuke from me to me. Stop complaining about problems that you created. Hack number five, put up or shut up. Stop complaining about problems that you created. If we started doing this, it would change the world. Like, it would literally, how many problems do you hear about all of the time that people created on their own and they're complaining to you about it? I'm like, you did it, you fix it. I don't know, stop complaining about it. Or, you know, it's like your parents used to say, you made your bed, now sleep in it. I never understood what that meant. I still hadn't figured it out. I didn't make my bed. Don't complain about problems that you created. This is a life hack. It would change the world. Now, I get it. Like, sometimes things happen, and it's okay for us sometimes to vent and maybe in our closest confidants to you know, let them know about what the things that are frustrating to us, things that other people did to us, things that outside forces enacted upon us, like things that we have no control over. But I don't think we have any room whatsoever to complain about problems that we created. Let's just stop, and our lives would be so much better for it, right? Like, we know most of the time what we're getting into when we get into it, and then we get into it, and we start complaining about getting into it. So stop complaining about getting into it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, and this one is, it's one of those verses that I'm just like, did you have to put that one in there, right? Why did this one make the cut? It says, do everything, somebody say everything, without complaining or arguing. Are my kids in the room? Do everything without complaining or arguing. And I think if we just started, let's start with the things that we do, the things that we create, maybe the issues that we lend, you know, kind of fuel to the fire, so to speak. If it's something that we created, let's stop complaining about that. That's on us. That's our fault. That's our bad. We're going to take some personal responsibility, and we're not going to complain about it. That would change the world. It would change your world. People would take notice of that. Like, don't you enjoy being around people who don't complain about frivolous things? Like, I hate, man, when you get around people and they just complain and they bicker and they nah, nah, right, all of the time, you kind of find yourself sneaking away from the conversation and eventually sneaking away from the relationship. I think people want to be around us when we don't complain, when we find things to be thankful for, and we find things to have gratitude toward. So that's what kind of the end of our hacks are. And so maybe there's one or two of these that stood out to you that you could implement into your life. And maybe there's none of them. Maybe you got some other better ideas, which that, you know, it's believable that you would have better ideas than me. That's not hard. I think all of us can find ways to implement gratitude into our lives. And the important thing is just do it. Like, let's not just talk about stuff. Let's be about stuff. Let's not just be hearers of God's word, but be doers of God's word. Amen. Let me pray for us, and then we will go stuff our faces with food and complain about it. Father, we love you so much. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for your son. Jesus, thank you for your life that you gave for us. And not just the sacrifice that you made, but the example that you set. God, that you did everything that you were called to do by God, and you didn't complain about it. You took on, God, the most difficult task in all of humanity, giving yourself for us, and you didn't complain about it. God, I pray that you would help us to take on that same mentality and that same attitude, that we would just be thankful, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the situation that we find ourselves in. God, that we will rejoice in the Lord always. Jesus, we pray that you would help us to be people who are filled with gratitude because of what we focus on, that our minds would look towards the good things as opposed to the bad things. We would become Velcro for good experiences, and that we will tell of all of your wonderful deeds in the world that we live in, to the people that you've placed in our lives. Let your name be lifted high and be glorified. We love you so much, and it's in Jesus' awesome name we pray, and everybody said, amen.